We started 2 Timothy with these four principles. These have been purveying. These have been standing out through the whole book, all right? Guard the truth. Don't worry about everything else. If you're going to flex your muscles, if you're going to rise up, you remember the phrase, fight the battles worth fighting? All right, if you're going to flex, guard the truth. Flex over truth. Look, it's rampant in our day, isn't it? People will post, people will repeat, news will share, anything that looks real. Seek the truth, find the truth, and guard it with all that you have, all right? Be strong in the Lord, all right? Be strong in the Lord. What that means is as you guard the truth, understand that Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. I am from the beginning to the end, eternal, never ending. If you are standing on me, the cornerstone, you can't lose. So bear in my truth. Avoid the traps and pitfalls. People are going to whisper. You are not the God man. You are man. And inside you is an Adamic nature, the nature of Adam, the nature to sin. It is there, okay? It is going to whisper in your ear. You're going to have the angel on this shoulder and the devil on this one. And sometimes the devil's going to look like your wife. I'm just saying. Sometimes the devil's going to look like your husband, your best friend. Sometimes the devil's going to look like your pastor. Heads up, just saying. It's possible. I hope not, but it's possible. Avoid traps and pitfalls. And man, grab people around you who will yank your arm so hard and you go, what the? And then you look down and they pulled you out of some sin, out of the way of some. Love those people. Love the people strong enough to look you in the eye and say, you need to step to the left. And 4, preach the word. When you open your mouth, when you have an opportunity, preach the word. And there's an old saying that says, preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. Let that sink in. Preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. You got to live it, and then you give it. Okay? He comes back to that one this morning. Let's look at chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. In the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom. Listen, in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Of all the things that I've said, Timothy, I give you this charge. Before we listen to the charge, I want you to hear what he subtly does. See, all of you, just like me, read that as an introduction, and you're looking forward to what he says. Don't miss what he's already said. Listen again. In the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom. Here's what he says. He says, you really have an audience of one. Though you're concerned about everybody else's applause. What's that song? I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. There's a verse. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. Hey, we do it, man. We want encouragement. We want pats on the back from everybody. In the presence of God, who will judge. Listen, you don't have to avenge. It is mine to avenge. I will repay. When everybody comes down on you, God's going to deal with that. And in view of his appearing, because he came here for you. He didn't leave you. He's not standing over you. He's not watching out for you. Only he is doing all of those things. And he became flesh to walk and talk. So his words had weight and value. He's lived it. He's felt it. He's breathed it. He's cried it. In view of this God standing next to you. Timothy, remember, you are with God and he's watching over you and he's on your side. If God is for us, what church? Who can be? Then knowing that, see, he's already said a lot before he gives a charge. Knowing that, preach the word. Keep the main thing, the main thing. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and careful instruction, for the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Sound like our culture today? I've been telling you all the way through this, and Paul's going to tell you again. You don't have to be careful of the awful, crazy stuff. You got to be careful of the stuff that's partly true. You got to be careful of the stuff that's a little bit true. You got to be careful of the stuff that sounds a whole lot like Jesus, but finishes nothing like him. This is our culture. And let me tell you something. In the 70s, this was their culture. And in the 50s, this was their culture. The Bible is universal in its teaching, and it is always applicable. And today, more than ever, you need to understand that our world is turning away from the truth. Listen, because the truth does hurt. The truth is often opposite of our desires. That's why there is a human desire and a godly desire. Natural man, spiritual man. There will always be that conflict. But in the land of the free and the home of the brave, we have decided that our feelings can be our rights. And that is our fail. Did you hear me? We have decided that our feelings are our rights, and that is our fail. If I want this, I am free to have this, and that freedom ought to protect me from it. No, that freedom will protect you from yourself. Do you remember that Jesus called that out in Mark? He called it out in Mark. If anyone would be my disciples, they must what? Deny themselves. Satan is not the biggest enemy, folks. We are. I've said it over and over again, and I'll keep on saying it. If Satan was the worst enemy, Jesus would have said, deny the devil. He didn't. He said, deny yourself. We are our own worst enemy. And he says, preach the word despite the fact that people are going to turn their ears away from the truth. You can't take it personal if you're preaching the gospel. And this is hard for me, because I try to preach from the scriptures so that I know that I'm not making any mistakes. If I preach from 1 Opinions chapter 27, it's going to get in trouble, all right? So I stick to Timothy and to Psalms and to Proverbs. But in doing so, I have ticked a few people off. I have looked out at the congregation and said, and I'm going to say it again in 3 weeks, your priorities are off. I love you. Your priorities are off. How do I know? I'm friends on Facebook with most of you. And if we run down through the pictures on your Facebook page, it will show you the priorities in your life. And if I see more soccer picks than I do Jesus picks, guess what? Some of you are like, well, it's fine. All of my picks are family. What if I told you that family can be an idol too? There's not a place in the scripture that says your children come before God. Preacher getting down? No, preacher ain't getting nothing. Preacher's just quoting Paul. Leave me alone. All right? That's what Paul says right here. He says, Timothy, tell him to leave you alone. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Come on. Preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the name of Jesus, and it will not return what? Might return mean sometimes, but it will not return void. Preach the word. All right, Craig, you told me to preach the word. That's fine, but your job is to tell me how. Okay, can do. Can do. According to Paul, how are we called to preach the word? Okay? We're called to preach the word with urgency. A lot of us have this mentality. Look, I will Sunday. Look, I will in the right situation. Look, I will in the right time. No, no, no. Jesus said, you preach it in the temple. If they getting wrong, flip the tables. No, no, no. You preach it at the well. If she a prostitute, let her know. No, no, no. If you at the Walmart and they bring the lady caught in adultery up there, time to preach the word. You preach it when God presents it, and you preach it as if there is no tomorrow, because for them there might not be. Preach with urgency. Number two, preach convincingly. Does that mean you have to make an argument that makes you sound right? No, no, no. Here's what that means. Study to show yourself approved. Most of you will not get in a Christian conversation because you know full well you are not equipped. Most of you will not get in a Christian-based conversation unless you have second opinions memorized. And the problem is, you can't win that argument. You cannot. You get in the scripture. You get with other Christians. If you want to preach the word convincingly, guess what you have to know? The word. So what Paul is saying here is go get them, Tiger, but go get them with something that you know something about. Don't go get them with the quickest story your preacher told last week. Don't go get them with the story he's going to tell next week. No, no, no. Get in the word. Be a part of the word. Study the word. Hide it in your heart so that you might not sin against God. Let it be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Come on, people. Make the word alive in you. You don't get off that easy. You have to rebuke when necessary. There is a time and a place when things come your way where you have to go, sin is sin. You don't get to go, here's everything I have to say, and it's all right that you feel that way as long as you just come along with us for the ride. No, 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 no. Murder will always be murder. It will never be okay to murder. Having 3, 4, or 5 wives will always be having 3, 4, or 5 wives. It will never be okay. No matter how much you think you want or deserve it, or if it makes you happy in the land of the free and the home of the brave, it will always be wrong. We can't unwrong it. Sometimes you rebuke when it's sin, and you do so lovingly. But those of us who like to rebuke like to put rebuke first and forget the rest. Notice what Paul says next. Exhort. Some of you go, I don't know what exhort means. That's okay. I'm here. It means encourage. It means don't beat people up over their sins and then not reach down and pick them up and tell them how beautiful they are in the eyes of God and how wonderful they are in the eyes of God and how bad you were beaten by your sin and how incredible God made you feel as a son or a daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords when you gave your life to Him. Encourage them and do it with your story. And most of all, be patient. Well, Craig, I did everything you said, and nothing happened. When'd you do it? Yesterday. If your 8-year-old went out, planted an apple seed in the garden, and came running into you every 3 hours and said, Daddy, where is it? Daddy, where is it? Daddy, where is it? After about the 4th time, you'd slap him and you'd probably dig that seed up. It's going to be months before you see anything. It's going to be years before you see any fruit. Christians, it's not any different. Preach the word with urgency, convincingly, rebuke when necessary, exhort, and be patient in your teaching. The main thing, all right? Now let's wander into Paul's mind for a minute, right after he says, oh, when you do this, this is a blessing to me. So just think about yourself as the over-shepherd, the under-shepherd, whatever you want to call it, of a congregation of misfits, because we are. I am simply head misfit, okay? That's all that's going on here for you visitors. Bunch of misfits, head misfit. All right? Welcome. But you, keep your head in all situations. I'm trying, Jesus. Endure hardship. Oh, I got it, Jesus. Do the work of an evangelist, working on it. Discharge all the duties of ministry. All right? Here's what he's saying. He's saying, bro, put your nose to the grindstone and have at it. And don't quit having at it. Well, I got this, this, and this to do. Yes, you do. But I have to do this, this, and this also. Yes, you do. Paul did not pansy Tim. I got 17 things to do. We had 2 church members die on Friday. Both of them want to have a funeral on Wednesday. I don't know. There can't be 2 of me. We got to work that out. God, I got this and I got, hey, stop whining. Go do your job. I am with you. I've never left you. Act like it. That's what he's saying here. Well, I've already been poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. He's not talking about Timothy now. He's saying, I know how it feels. I've been beaten, bruised, battered, torn, tossed. I've been it all, and I'm coming to an end. But I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith, and there is a crown of righteousness in store. People, run the race, keep the faith. People, run the race, keep the faith. When time gets tough, what do you do, church? Run the race, keep the faith. When you want to get down, what do you do, church? Run the race, keep the faith. Are you going to start saying it with me, or are we going to go on till noon? When it's a bad day, what do you do, church? When somebody makes fun of you, what do, church? When you get stabbed in the back by somebody you thought was your friend, what do you do, church? When the pastor makes a mistake, which sometimes he will, what do, church? Y'all didn't say that with as much. Run the race, keep the faith, and kick him in his hindside. All right. Not only me, but also all who have longed for his appearing. I'm not going to get this crown by myself. Everybody who runs away with me, they're getting the crown too. And then he starts thinking about all the people who have run the race with him. Do your best to come to me quickly. For Demas, because he loved the world, has deserted me. Demas was a man who came from Thessalonica as they came through, and he got saved, all right? And he wanted to go on mission, and he took off with Paul, and he got into the grind, and he realized that there were things you couldn't do when you were a Christian. There were things you shouldn't say when you're a Christian. There were things in his life that had to change when he became a Christian, and he couldn't live up, so he went home. Anybody know anybody like that? Anybody ever been that person? Hey, it was just a lot easier to do things the way I used to do. That Demas. Crescens has gone to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. Hey, even though there are people who have run, there are people who have stayed, and I am now empowering them to go and be the pastors at the places that I have helped to build, that I have set in stability, and that I am now sending those who have gone with me to those places. This is the mission field as it ought to be. Lay the foundation, send the workers, harvests abound, all right? Only Luke is with me. Oh, Luke. Yes, Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Yes, Luke, the doctor who had the money. Yes, Luke, who had the mind. Yes, Luke, who sought it all out. Do you know what we think happened here? Historically, when you were taken as a prisoner in Rome, you were allowed, if you were going to be tried in Rome, there was a list a mile long. So you were allowed to bring two servants with you. A servant could come with you. Luke, the doctor, probably acknowledged to the Roman government that he was a servant of Paul in order to stay with him through this time. Sacrifice is required. What a testimony the doctor, the writer of Luke, the writer of Acts had, so that I can write these things, so that I can be faithful to the race. I am submitting myself as a servant to a prisoner of Rome, just so that I can be with him. Ooh, didn't know there was history in there, did you? Get Mark. I love this one too. Get Mark. That's John Mark. That is the Gospel of Mark. But do you know what happened? Mark got saved as they came through also, all right? But then it was a little difficult for Mark. Mark was like young and Mark was still trying to learn and Mark ran off also. But Mark came back. Started doing ministry where he was, started growing in the ministry where he was, ended up running into Paul and some of his disciples again. And he and Paul have met. I mean, it ticked off the apostles when Mark took off. He took off at a very bad time and they were angry. Listen to me. There is going to be anger in our lives, church. We are going to fight. We are going to feud. We are going to not get along sometimes. The question is, are we all focusing on Jesus so that if we're walking toward him, eventually guess what's going to happen? We're going to reconnect. That's what happened here. Mark is the gospel of redemption in Paul's story. He went away and he came home. Is that your story? I sent Tychicus to Ephesus. Hey, I'm not leaving the people you're ministering to alone. I need you here with me, so I'm sending someone to take your place. When you come, bring the cloak, bring my scrolls, bring my parchment. Watch out. See, normally you would travel by sea, but in order to pick up the people he has told him to pick up, he has to go by land and go around. And he wants him to leave now because winter's coming, and he needs him to make it before winter because Paul doesn't think he's going to get through the winter. So he says, bring my cloak. And when he says, bring the scrolls and bring the parchments, do you know what that is? That's bring the parts of the New Testament that have already been written and bring my copy of the Torah, the books. The books would have been the newer stuff. And the scrolls would have been the Old. And the historians say, the theologians say, that was so his soul could rise. His soul could be lifted. When Paul read the scriptures, it was like he was eating food. Everything about him lit up. So he said, bring that so that in my last days, as I read the story that I have so oft told, my spirits will soar. Do your best to come to me quickly. Sorry. Here we go. Be on your guard against Alexander the metalworker. That's right here. Sorry. He did a great deal of harm on the journey. All right. The Lord will repay him for what he's done. So now we see him giving an example of what he asked Timothy to do. All right. Hey, I can't worry about that guy. I can't worry about condemning him. That takes too much energy. I've told you to leave him alone. I'm showing you how to leave him alone. But watch out for him. I don't want you to have to deal with him either. All right? At my first defense, no one came to my support. That's when he was in trial. But listen to this. Everyone deserted me. Don't hold it against them. Remember when Jesus did that? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But the Lord stood at my side. When no one shows up to testify at a trial in Rome for you, you are automatically condemned and sentenced to death. Now, normally, you were sentenced to go to the lions. We're going to see that in a minute. Go to the lions at the Colosseum. But if you were a citizen of Rome, which Paul was, they couldn't do that to you, so you were beheaded. But listen, somehow, some way, the Spirit of God showed up at that trial, and the Lord rescued me from the evil attack and will bring me safely to the kingdom. Nobody showed up to testify, but in some strange and miraculous way, the Spirit of God showed up. Paul testified on his own behalf, and he was able to avoid persecution at that time. Prosecution. They didn't make anything. God saved me from the lions. It was symbolic of saving him from death. And to him be the glory forever and ever. Greet Priscilla and Aquila. He starts thinking about people he hung out with. Greet people. Erastus stayed in Corinth, and I left Trophimus sick in Miletus. Listen to me. This is an interesting side note, okay? There's a lot of things about God healing and God not wanting to be people to be sick and God not wanting us, and there are some very over-spiritual folks, and I want you to hear me, who will say, you can't be sick and you can't be in the... No. Right here. We've watched Paul heal sick people. We've watched Paul's apostles heal sick people. Paul leaves someone ill. That goes contrary to everything you believe, unless you believe that God can use the well and the sick. I'm not saying bad things happen for a reason, but sometimes, guess what? Bad things happen for a reason. Bad things don't happen to good people, and good things don't happen to good people, and good things don't happen to bad people. Guess what, church? Bad and good things happen to all people. And we do well not to forget that. Do your best to get here before winter. I already said that. This one's interesting. This is how it ends. Eubulus greets you. And so do Prudence, Linus, and Claudia, and the brothers and sisters. That group of people right there, I'd never heard of them. I'd ignored this stuff because you probably have never heard of them. But Prudence, Linus, and Claudia, here's what history tells us. Prudence was a high church official in Rome who came in, all right, when in another section of the world, a man named Claudius was king and had a daughter named Claudia. Claudia married Prudence, moved to Rome, and they became the leadership of the church at Rome, which would be passed down to their son, Linus, who would be epitomized historically as a great leader of the Christian church in the city of Rome. He's already setting forth what God is going to do. Paul is already pouring into, look, we may not be able to see it now, but everything we've done is not in vain. Greet every sister with brotherly love. And then he says, the Lord be with your spirit. Guys, our bodies come and go, but our spirits remain. And you've heard it said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is. Well, when you're working in the ministry and when you're working hard, guess what? Your body takes a hit, but so does your spirit. And Paul called it. And he said, I love your body, but may the Lord be with your spirit. And may grace be with you all. He finishes the same place he starts. Grace and peace. Because if we forget at any point in time that we have all this by God's grace alone, we have already failed. Preach the word. May God be with your spirit and remember his grace. In a couple weeks, that's where we're headed. In less than 6 weeks, we will begin a powerhouse series on real Bible grace. And I hope that it covers you. I'll tell you more after we pray. God, thank you for Paul. Thank you so much for his work, for his gospel. Thank you so much for his mission and for his outpouring into Timothy so that we might be blessed by what he said. God, help us to avoid pitfalls, to speak the truth, to preach the word, and to avoid temptation. God, I thank you for every person in this room. I thank you for every sweet child that had to stay in here because it was just too hot in the loft this morning. We know that there's some reason why they joined us today. And I thank you that their behavior was incredible. God, I thank you that our church is full of children. Not a little bit full, not mediocre full, busting the seams full of children. I pray for their mommies and their daddies. I pray for the workers. And I pray for what this church will be. We love what it is, God. But what it will be is beyond anything we could ever ask for or imagine. In Jesus' name, amen.